Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. And in just a moment, I'll begin reading in verse 10. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Chapter 20 of Revelation, beginning at verse 10. There is a book. No one on earth has seen it, but there is a book. It's one of a kind. There's no other book like it. You have never read this book. It's one of, if not the most important book in existence. You and I cannot buy this book. It is not for sale. Its pages, its entries, its content are unknown to any man. God Almighty is the author and the keeper of this book. It is His holy, heavenly ledger. In this book are the names of all the redeemed of all time. You cannot purchase your way into this book. You cannot do enough good works to get your name in this book. Religion will never, ever secure your name in this book. Worldly fame, worldly wealth are worthless in regard to this book. The only ink that this book acknowledges is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can secure you a place in this book. If your name is in this book, joyful you should be. If your name is in the book that I'm talking about, God is your Father, Jesus is your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells within you and empowers you to live the Christian life. You are part of the church of the living God. You're part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into everlasting, marvelous light. If your name is in this book, all of your sins have been forgiven forever. If your name is in this book, God will walk with you every step of the way on this earth, and when it's your time to die, He will close your eyes, escort your soul to heaven with His heavenly angels, and you will enter your celestial home. God will provide for your every need, every day, if your name is written in this book. You have been called unto a mission. If your name is in this book, you are to make disciples, baptize disciples, and teach disciples all that He has commanded you. And lo, He is with you even to the end of the age. If your name is in the book, He will enable you to walk in victory on earth, and He will let you enter into the eternal victory of heaven. The first heavenly breath that you take will follow your last earthly breath. And throughout eternity, you will rejoice that your name was written in the book. But if your name is not in the book and you die, it's a different story. If your name is not in this book and you die, you will be doomed to eternal darkness, banned forever from God's presence. You will live in eternal physical and emotional torment, sharing the ages as they roll with the devil and demonic spirits, your resurrected body will suffer eternally in unquenchable flames as your lungs are filled and gasping with sulfuric fumes. You'll long for a single drop of water, but there's no water where you'll be. You'll long for a single breath of air, but there's no air where you will be. You will hear eternally, all day long, all night long, every day for the rest of eternity, agonizing cries of millions. You will long to see your loved ones, but no one can come to you and you can go to no one. You will long to hear the name that this world loves to curse. Not Buddha, not Allah, not Muhammad. But where you'll be, you'll long to hear the name of Jesus, but you'll never hear his name again. You'll never hear any preacher preach the gospel. You'll never read the Bible. You'll never pray again. God will leave you and abandon you totally. You've never been in a setting where there is no God, but for eternity you'll be in a setting where there is no God. You won't have access to a worship service. You won't hear the great hymns of the faith. You won't hear any choir sing. You won't hear any orchestra play. You will long to be able to repent of your sins, to believe in Jesus and to receive him, but to no avail. Irreversibly, eternally separated from Almighty God. You'll long for another gospel invitation, but to no avail. Your treasures will be devoured. Your values, your valuables will be valueless. Your earthly accomplishments will be as dung. Your bank accounts will be empty. Your high positions will mean nothing. Your name will be forgotten. Your soul will be shackled. And as the ages roll, you will remember. You will remember that you had an opportunity for your name to be in that book, but you said no. We've been emphasizing evangelism all week, all month. People have gone out, told people about Jesus. Some people wouldn't open the door to us, nor would they open the door to Christ. But we planted anyway. We sowed the seed anyway. We watered anyway. And to God be the glory, he gave the increase. And while some said no, some said yes. That's the way it is with the gospel. And each time someone repented of his or her sin and believed that Jesus died for them on the cross, and rose from the dead, and opened their heart, not just a door, but their heart, and asked Christ to come into their lives and take them as they are, where they are, and take them where they need to be. Jesus, when they said yes to them, and came in and changed their lives. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Revelation 20, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I have never in my life, I've been preaching for 40 years, I have never preached an entire sermon on the book of life. But I knew in my knower that God told me to do it. Is your name in the book of life? Let's talk about, first of all, the reality of the book of life. Does the Bible confirm the fact that there is a book of life? Absolutely. Perhaps one of the most famous verses is here in Revelation 20, verse 15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It's a picture of divinely enforced eternal punishment. If your name's not in that book, God won't just allow you to go in there, he will throw you in there. It's the picture of being discarded. And what the Bible is saying here is Gehenna is a word that comes from the valley of Hinnom, which was the garbage dump outside Jerusalem. It was at the base of a valley, and the gate that went to it was the dung gate. And it wasn't an accident that that was the gate that went there. Everything that was refuse, everything that was throwaway, went into the valley of Hinnom. And Jesus said that hell is the garbage dump of the universe. And so you're going to be thrown into there, rejected by God for all eternity. Is there anything else in the Bible about the book of life? Oh, yes. I read from that first because it's from our text. Way back in Exodus 32, we read about the book, which is the book of life. It doesn't say the book of life. It talks about God's book, but it's the same book. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will, forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written." The Lord said to him, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." He wasn't going to blot Moses out of his book. Moses was up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments. While he was there, the people became impatient, and they went to his brother Aaron, and they said, "Make us a god." They gave him jewelry. He melted it down. He made a calf idol, an idol of just a horrible god, and man-made idol, and they started worshiping that idol. And God says to Moses, "Go down." And God said, he didn't say "my people." He looked at Moses and said, "Your people have sinned." And Moses said, "They're not my people, they're your people." God said, "Right now they're not, they're your people." And he went down, called out, "Who is on the Lord's side?" One of the greatest invitations in the Bible. And the Levites came forth for the first time. And that's when they became sanctified unto God. And they killed thousands of those leaders who had led the people astray. And then Moses interceded and said, please forgive this rebellious people, and if you don't, just take my name out of your book. God said, I'll take out of my book who I want to take out. I will take out the ones who sin and don't repent. They'll be taken out of my book. The psalmist said in Psalm 69, verse 28, may they be blotted out of the book of life. That's the first time that phrase is recorded in the Old Testament. Added with it, the book of life. In Exodus, it was just the book. Now it's the book of life. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. He's praying against his enemies. These are called imprecatory prayers. They're all through the book of Psalms, where the psalmist is invoking judgment and curses upon the enemies of God. May they be blotted out of the book of life, these people who are coming against the kingdom of God. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 also talks about this book. Now at that time, Michael, this is the angel that's over Israel, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until now. This time of distress is the great tribulation. Most of the book of Revelation, chapter 6 all the way through chapter 18, describes vividly the great tribulation. It's a time right after the rapture, before the second coming of Jesus. It's when it goes on right after Jesus comes back and takes us out of the world, and then literally this becomes the devil's world for 7 years, and then after that we will come back with Jesus to the earth. But during that great tribulation, he said there's going to be a time of distress, and at that time your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. We're not going to go through the great tribulation. We will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. Those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those whose names are in the book of life will inherit everlasting life, he says, but those who don't have eternal life will have disgrace and everlasting contempt. Is your name in that book? And then Malachi chapter 3 says, then those who feared the Lord spoke of one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance, there it is, was written before him, before God, for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be like chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and you will skip like calves from a stall. Have you ever seen a baby calf come out of a stall? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. You're looking at me like a calf at a new gate. All right. When they come out of a stall, man, they're excited and they're running. God says, my people are going to skip like that. But the others, they won't skip. If your name is not written in the book of remembrance, you won't have any eternal reward. You will experience eternal damnation, according to that text in Malachi. What did Jesus say about the book of life? Oh, he said a lot. Luke 10, verse 20, his disciples had gone out. They'd been casting out demons, and they came back, and they were rejoicing. People had been saved. It was report time, and people had been delivered. And Jesus said, nevertheless, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Jesus said the greatest thing to rejoice about is that your name is in the book of life. Philippians 4, verse 3, Paul said, indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. In the book of Revelation earlier, Jesus referenced the book of life in Revelation 3, verse 5. He said, "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before my angels." If your name is in the book of life, Jesus will confess you before the Father. If your name is not in the book of life, Jesus will not confess you before the Father. Revelation 13, verse 8, "And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast." That's the Antichrist, and that dooms them to hell the moment they do that. "They are the ones whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life before the world was made, the book that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered." Revelation 17, verse 8, "The beast," that is the Antichrist, "you saw was once alive but isn't now, and yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit," that's hell, "and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of the beast who had died." The people who belong to the world, their names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 20, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open." And those books now, that's not the book of life. That's the book of the record of everything you've ever thought, said, and done. Every human being, everything is written down. Everything is written down. Look at me. You will receive a fair trial one day, because all the evidence is written down. Everything you've ever said, done, thought, it's all written down. "And another book now was opened," this is the book of life, "which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds." Revelation 21, verse 27, "And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into that city, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." 12 times in the Bible, the book of life is referred to. 8 times in the New Testament, 4 times in the Old Testament, 6 times in the book of Revelation. I rest my case. There is a book of life. That's the reality of it. Now, who's the ruler over it? Who is the ruler over the book of life? Not the president, it's not the Supreme Court, it's not the Senate, it's not the House of Representatives, it's not any governor. God Himself rules over the Lamb's book of life. Look at our text again. "Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat upon it." Ah, there's the ruler of the book of life, "from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. No place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown, he was cast, he was hurled into the lake of fire." It's obvious that God Himself is the ruler of this book. One day, according to Scripture, one day you will stand one-on-one with God. Your spouse won't be there. Your parents won't be there. Your good friends won't be there. Your preacher won't be there. Your party buddies won't be there. Your football team won't be there. Your fellow cheerleaders won't be there. Your fellow workers won't be there. It will be just you and God. What are you going to do? How are you going to answer for your life when you stand one-on-one with God? Just you and God. And he's going to open that book. He's going to look up to see if your name is in that book. What are you going to do if your name's not in that book? Some of you have gone to church for years, but deep down in your soul, you really don't believe your name is in that book. Now's the time to take care of that. Now's the time to take care of that. It'll be too late then. If your name is in that book, you will rejoice forever. If you don't, you will lament forever. God is the ruler of that book. And Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God the Son. And Jesus also rules over that book. Revelation 21, verse 27. We read it a moment ago. Nothing unclean, no one who practices abomination in lying. That's talking about people who have sinned but have never repented. They've never had their sins forgiven. They shall ever come into it, into that place, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Book of Life is the Lamb's Book of Life. It belongs to Him. Well, why does it belong to Him? Why not to Muhammad? Why not to Buddha? Why not to Allah? Because Allah and Buddha and Muhammad did not die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Allah and Buddha and any other person you want to name out there, Muhammad, anybody else, they did not come to this earth through the womb of a virgin. They did not live a sinless life. They did not die an atoning death. They did not rise from the dead. They are still in the grave. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can get your name in the book of life. He's the only one. If you're trusting in anyone besides Jesus, you're trusting in something that's not trustworthy. Jesus talked about that dreadful day of judgment in Matthew 25. I cringe when I read these words. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave Me something to drink." Some of y'all wondering why we do Bellevue Loves Memphis. Here you go. "I was a stranger, you invited Me in. I was naked, you clothed Me. I was sick, you had visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." That's how saved people act right there. Saved people do those things. So if you don't do those things, you have every reason to wonder, am I really a Christian if I don't have a desire to do those kind of things? Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You, or thirsty and give You something to drink? And when did we see You a stranger and invite You in, or naked and clothe You? When did we see You sick or in prison and come to You?" The King will answer, this is Jesus, and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of Mine, even to the least of them, you did it unto Me." Then He will also say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you fed Me nothing, you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite Me in. I was naked, you did not clothe Me. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit Me." Then they will say to themselves, answer and say, "Lord, when did we see You hungry or thirsty or stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and didn't take care of You?" He said, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me." And then comes the hammer in verse 46. Jesus speaks of hell and heaven in that order in one breath. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. When you die, you don't cease to exist. That's a lie. And if your philosopher friend has told you that, they've told you the devil's lie. You don't cease to exist. Your soul is not annihilated. Your soul is eternal. Your spirit is eternal. And when you die, all in the world death is when your spirit and soul leave your physical body. That's all death is. And your soul and your spirit either go immediately to heaven or to hell based on what you did with Jesus Christ while you were in this life. That's the ruler over this book, God Almighty and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of the book, the ruler of the book, very quickly, the requirement for the book of life. I can hear some of y'all thinking, how do I get my name in that book? First of all, Jesus must forgive your sins. Go back to Revelation 21, verse 27, nothing unclean. No one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into that book, come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Does that mean if you've ever committed an abomination and if you've ever lied, you can't go to heaven? No. What it means is if you don't have your sins forgiven before you get to that judgment seat, then you will be condemned. But aren't you glad there's forgiveness before you get there? Amen? I don't want justice. I want grace. And who can get me in? Jesus. Acts 4, 11 and 12. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. 1 John 2:12, I am writing to you who are children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. Have your sins ever been forgiven? As the old song says, are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your spiritual garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then you might say, well, how in the world do I get my sins forgiven? First of all, you must repent of your sin. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Acts 3, 19 and 20, Peter said, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, and order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that He may send Jesus the Christ appointed for you. Repentance is an about face. It's a spiritual U-turn. It's where you turn from your selfish, sinful way of living and saying, God, I can't promise you I'll never sin again, but I can promise you I don't want to. I turn from my way of life. I turn from me being in charge of my life, and I turn to you. I repent. And look at me, nobody, no preacher, no deacon, no teacher, no church member, nobody goes to heaven unless they repent. And then secondly, you must believe in Jesus. John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as what? Say it out loud. Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? Say it out loud. Saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Has there ever been that moment in time when you simultaneously repented of your sins and put all of your faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross, that what he did there when he said, tetelestai, it is finished, that what Jesus did on the cross, you recognize and you acknowledge for yourself, you receive that as total sufficiency for your sins. It's not what I can do that gets me to be forgiven. It is what he has done that gets me to be forgiven. And did you lay yourself prostrate before the cross and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead and you are alive. I now believe. I put my faith in Christ. All of my faith is in Christ. That ever happened to you? And then you receive Jesus as Savior. You repent, believe, and receive. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. I've told this story before, but our daughter, Lindsay, had worked hard. She was not the most athletic child we had, but she worked hard to be a cheerleader. And she was going out to be a high school cheerleader at Gardendale High School. Over 100 girls went out, only a dozen would be selected. They didn't believe in everybody getting a trophy. And they tried out. And the way these people would do it, because the parents of the children, the 90-something that were rejected, were always mad. And so they didn't want to be out there and get beat up. We're talking Alabama, all right? And so they would literally, they were from on the other side. They always, the judges were people from another school district even. So they would come over and they'd make their decision and they would designate the one probably who either had the less sense or had been on the committee the least time, all right? They said, you get to go deliver the page. And they would literally have the doors locked off, and from the inside they would paste that decision up there with the girls' names on who made it, and they'd run. No embellishment. Is that right? That's exactly what happened. See, I know y'all believe her. And then this picture, 100 girls run to the door. And it's kind of eerie. For every one that was saying, I made it, I made it, I made it, there were 9 saying, I didn't make it. Lindsay made it, but her best friend didn't. And I'll never forget when Katie turned around, looked at me, and said, I didn't make it. I said, sweetheart, it'll be all right. Here's what she said. She said, no, it won't. That's cheerleading. But one of these days, you're going to stand in a different kind of setting. Coming to this building doesn't get you into heaven. Putting money in an offering plate doesn't get you to heaven. Being a preacher doesn't get you to heaven. The only thing that gets you to heaven is have all your sins washed away before you die. To repent of your sin, believe in Jesus, and receive him as Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, you can come to church all you want. But when you stand before and you look, and the roll is called up yonder, your name won't be there. But if you know Jesus, I've already decided what I'm going to do. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look at God and say, and I'm going to look at Jesus, I'm going to say, I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm with him. I ain't got any other chance. There's no way. There's no way. Oh, but he's the way. And Lord Jesus, I'm with you, is your name in the book of life. My Father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, rubies, diamonds, silver, gold, his coffers are full, riches untold. My Father's own Son, the Savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them. But now he is pleading our pardon on high that we may be his when he comes by and by. I once was an outcast. I was a stranger on earth. I was a sinner by choice and an alien by birth. But now I have been adopted and my name is written down. I'm an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Praise his holy name. Worship the Lord God. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't rejoice that the demons tremble. Rejoice that your name is in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads. If you don't know the Lord, I ask you today to repent of your sins, to believe in Jesus, to receive him as your Savior. We're about to sing our final song of worship. Our pastors are coming even now. They'll be at the head of every aisle. And today, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, give your heart to him today. In fact, pray with me right now. If you want to know that your name is in the Lamb's book of life, pray this right now, just in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. But I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I repent, O God, of my sin. I turn from my selfishness and sinfulness, and I turn to you. I repent and I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead, and I give you my life. I receive you. Save me, Lord Jesus, and write my name in the book of life with the blood of Jesus. And let me live for you for the rest of my life. And when I die, and when the roll is called up yonder, I want my name in that book, God. I pray this with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.